That's right, folks. You're in the right place. You are in the right place. That's the Hagman and Hagman Report coming to you live. HagmanReport.com is our website, HagmanandHagman.com. That's our show website. That's right. You're in the right spot. Don't worry about the vice presidential debates. They start at 9 Eastern time. We certainly will be commenting on those later. We're not going to break away for that. No, Stan Dale's got much more important things to say during that hour. Before we bring on our guest, folks, have you done this yet? Have you gone to greenevative.com? That's greenevative.com. Have you done that? You go to HagmanReport.com if you are spelling challenged, perhaps, like I am, or whatever. Go to HagmanReport.com and click on Greenevative. There you'll find the new Super G-Mag power cell with replaceable G-Mag power pox and Superworks. It contains everything you needed to provide personal power essentials whenever or wherever needed. What this is, folks, it is a way to recharge rechargeable batteries using salt water only. I'm going to tell you, this is something I had to see to believe. We had to use it and use it again. We had to test it before we endorsed it, and I endorse this product. I really do. I'm fascinated. You might say, well, you failed science class. But you know what? I've never seen a product work like this. Congrats to the owner and to the producer, the man behind and the men and women behind this great product, the G-Mag Power Pux. It's the ultimate in portable power. It's a must-have for your emergency kit, your bug-out bag, and for a host of off-grid activities. Folks, the Superworks package contains the new Super G-Mag Power Cell with replaceable G-Mag Power Pux, as well as 6 1,000 and 4 they're rechargeable batteries. I'm not going to get into the numbers here. They're rechargeable batteries. You've got a handful of rechargeable batteries, power pucks, and a USB charger pack that operates these devices. I'll say this too. You can also charge up your cell phone. You don't need sunlight. You don't need a hand crank. You don't need wind. You don't even need an outlet. Yes. No, all you need is a little bit of salt water. It is the new Super G-Mag Power Cell. Go to greenevative.com. 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 If I say it enough times, you'll remember it. Greenevative.com. Or go to HagmanReport.com or HagmanandHagman.com. Click on Greenevative. You won't be sorry. This is a great product. I love this product. I really do. Joe does as well, and we've used it, and it works. GreenEvative.com. Our guest coming up right now is Dr. Mike Spaulding. Folks, go to DrMikeSpaulding.com. That's DrMike Spaulding, SpaulDing.com. DrMikeSpaulding.com. He was ordained in the ministry back in 1998. He's started 2 Calvary Chapel churches, one in St. Mary's and the other in Lima, Ohio. And that's where he currently serves as pastor. He holds a BA in organizational management, a master's degree in theological studies, and a PhD in apologetics. That's right, doctor of apologetics. A PhD, no less. He's the author of numerous articles, including Leadership and Organizational Vision, Servant Leadership, The Ministry of Teaching, A Brief Look at Romans 13. Dr. Spaulding, got it. Paging Dr. Spaulding, Romans 13. Let's look at it. Joe, he's a great guy. He really is, and we're proud to have him.
Chance to talk with him today, and we had a great talk. And Mr. Spaulding, it's great to have you on the Hagman and Hagman Report. This is your first time on, and we want to welcome you to the show and thank you for coming on.
Joe and Doug, it's my pleasure and honor to be on with you tonight. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, it's great to have you. You know, Dr. Spaulding, maybe not new to our audience, but new to the venue of the Hagman Hagman Report. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, because I think you're a fascinating guy. I really do. If folks go to Dr. Spaulding or DrMikeSpaulding.com to read about him, but give us kind of a sketch about who you are.
Sure. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, I'm a husband married to my beautiful wife, Kathy, for over 33 years. We have 4 grown daughters now, 5 grandchildren. And I'm a tent-making pastor, Doug and Joe, and I think most of your listeners know what that means. But for those that don't, a tent-making pastor simply means that I hold down a full-time job through which I support my family, and I'm able to pastor that way, and I really appreciate that. Pastor a small church, Calvary Chapel of Lima. In Lima, we're a small city, about 40,000 folks, but I also host Soaring Eagle Radio, and that program, Doug and Joe, really started as a result of me wanting to push down information into the local church that they're not getting from their pastors, from their teachers and ministry leaders. There was a huge gap, and I'm going to touch on this hopefully during our conversation tonight. There's a huge gap in the information. People in the pews are, quite frankly, confused about what's going on in our nation today. And so I took that as a mandate to start this program. I interview a lot of different people, different backgrounds. Of course, because my training and education is in apologetics, I interview a lot of folks like that. Todd Friel, Frank Turek, J. Warner Wallace, Sean McDowell, Nancy Piercy, Catherine Austin Fitz, folks like that. But I also
Robert.
Get off. Yeah, well, that helps people to understand what kind of stuff I'm interested in and want to get in their hands. And but coming up on the program, just this month, October is a packed month for me. I'll have Greg Jackson on next Monday. Coach Dave is going to be on. John Robertson's on. Doug Woodward's on. Jim Mars is coming on later this month. So, SoaringEagleRadio.org is the radio show. The Transforming Word is my teaching ministry. That's available as a podcast, and that's thetransformingword.org. DrMikeSpalding.com is my blog. So I maintain 3 different platforms and push out teaching and information through those. And I would like to mention too, Doug and Joe, and I know that you're familiar with this effort, but here very soon, hopefully before the end of the year, I'll be involved in a new ministry launch that we have entitled On the Objective. And there is a website available for that now, ontheobjective.org, and that's myself, Stephen Minking, Sergeant Tim, and John Robertson. And I'll mention one other thing. If people want to connect with me, we do have a YouTube channel. You can search for that, Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio, and that's got all the video sermons out there that you can download or watch online.
You're the reason I find you interesting, or the reason I said you were interesting, and I let me just clarify this. We get emails from people. Hey, do you know of a church anywhere that teaches what we espouse, or that's any pastors, any ministers out there, any people you know that actually stand in the pulpit and teach what we want to get more of? Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I just slaughtered that. But you know, you are that guy. You're that guy that stands up there and says, "This is how things are." To hell with PC. I'm, you know, excuse my language. Well, no, I mean that's biblical. To hell with PC. This is what the Bible teaches. This is how we should be living as Christians. This is how we should be acting. This is what we should be doing. Am I wrong in that, or is that kind of? I don't want to be too simplistic, but I want to be. I'm a simple guy, you know.
Well, you, I appreciate that compliment, Doug, and because I've been called a lot worse. that pretty much sums it up. We call it's a Calvary Chapel of Lima, a no spin zone. It's a no PC zone. Don't bring that silliness in here. We're going to teach the scriptures and teach them for what they say. I borrowed a phrase from a friend a long time ago, and I told him I was going to steal it from him. And he said, use it all you want to. And it is this. It is not my job as a shepherd, as a pastor, to protect you from your Bible. And what that means is so many believers today want the word sugar-coated. They want it in digestible morsels. They don't want to be conflicted. They don't want to experience any kind of cognitive dissonance is a good word. They don't want to have to think through the implications of what the Bible has to say and then match their life up with that. They want to get the warm fuzzies when they leave, and if you start talking real stuff from the scriptures, you are going to upset some folks. You just can't avoid that. But the folks that come to Calvary Chapel Lima, they want that. They're what I call part of the remnant, and the remnant want the Word of God, and they want it undistilled. Just give it to me straight. And they realize their responsibility then to obey the Lord as He leads them by the power and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we don't shy away either, Doug and Joe, from teaching doctrinal things. Doctrine is good. It, in fact, doctrine divides the sheep from the goats. It's the goats that don't want to hear about doctrine. It's the goats that are always complaining about doctrinal teaching. But it's doctrine that sets the course for the direction that we need to go as a fellowship. And so we teach the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And that way you avoid any hobby horses that shepherds and pastors like to camp out on. And you can't avoid those tough passages of Scripture that make people uncomfortable. And so you cover the entire counsel of God's Word. And people want that today, Doug. They're looking for that. In fact, I was going to share some experiences this week as a way of introducing myself and the things that the Lord had laid on my heart to share with your audience tonight, if that's okay.
Please do. We are all looking for that direction. We're looking for that. What we try to be here at the Hagman and Hagman Report is kind of a hub where we can direct people to their various needs and their desires, their wants in terms of wanting more information. And you provide such great information and do a great service. So go ahead. Continue. Go where you're being led here with that particular in that area. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Well, I'll give a brief disclaimer to probably make some people uncomfortable. And normally, my response to that is good, because if you center to my teaching long enough, you're going to get your toes stepped on. But don't be mad at me. Now, that would be the Holy Spirit in you speaking to you about those things. And I'm going to steal one of your lines, Joe. I heard you, or Doug. I heard you mention this earlier, and that was saddle for battle. I just want to let you know I'm going to steal that. I thought that was a great one. But anyway.
Go ahead.
and I'll give you proper attribution for that.
No worries.
But anyway, I've had a very interesting week this past week leading up to our conversation tonight. On Monday, I interviewed an author on Soaring Eagle Radio who wrote a book that detailed the connection between Hitler and the Third Reich and the Darwinian evolutionary worldview. And we discussed a number of very clear examples of the Nazi infatuation with creating a master race through eugenics and genetic manipulation. But one of the points that that we also touched on was the widespread silence among the churches of Germany. Now, there were some exceptions, of course, but overall, the Christians in Germany kept relatively quiet. Now, that changed to a degree once some of the German people found out what was really going on, and they did create a rat line, an underground rescue network that did save some Jewish lives. So we talked about that. And then on Friday of last week, I officiated a wedding. Now, that's not news for a pastor, of course, but the reason I bring it up is because the couple that I married, they are not saved. And they provided me a ceremony that they wanted me to follow. Now, just for your listeners' information, because I know there are pastors and ministry leaders that listen to your program, I will marry two believers. I'll marry two unbelievers, but I will not marry a believer and an unbeliever. In my understanding of the scriptures, that would be unequally yoked. And so I don't draw back from marrying unbelievers. But the reason I bring this up is because the ceremony that they gave to me, when I went through it, there wasn't one mention of God in the entire ceremony. Now, that made me pause because I've never seen that before. And listen, I've been a senior pastor for nearly 20 years on staff at other churches for 10, almost 15 years prior to that. So I've done a lot of weddings over the years. But this was the first one that I've ever done that didn't mention God. And the first thing I thought was, well, it doesn't mention God. Why would they even want a pastor? I mean, why reach out to a pastor, one who represents God, to officiate this ceremony where you're not even recognizing God? Well, I, of course, revised that ceremony and put scripture references in and other things to remind them that this covenant relationship that they're entering into was created by God. Now, then this past Saturday morning, I had a 90-minute conversation with a young man over breakfast, and we were talking about the millennial generation. And that's especially interesting topic for me because my research and all the statistics that I've seen indicate that the millennial generation, that age group, they are dropping out of church in unprecedented numbers. They're becoming a large percentage of what researchers call the duns. They're just done with church. And so I took this opportunity to talk to this young man because he is in that generation. And I asked him what exactly is going on with his age group. And he's done some traveling. And in fact, he's involved in a project that I hope to assist him in. He's doing a documentary traveling around to different churches, filming and talking to people about the church and what they're teaching and why they're teaching it and why they're not teaching other things. So that was very interesting to me. But I asked him, I said, well, why is your generation dropping out? And he said, well, quite frankly, we're angry at the church. We're angry. And so I asked him, I said, well, angry, why are you angry? And this is what he said. He said, because millennials believe that they've been lied to by the church about the Christian faith. And so as I dug deeper and pressed him, well, you know, give me some examples, tell me about this. He said, growing up and into their young adult years, when they would have questions, serious questions, when they would have doubts about things, and they would go to their church leaders, all they would get is cute Bible stories and answers to their questions that didn't amount to much more than, well, you just have to have faith. And I got to tell you something, Doug and Joe, those kinds of responses to the questions of life, those are just about useless. And they do a great disservice to the kingdom and to the Christian faith. Now, I understand why ministry leaders do that to a degree, because they're not equipped. They're not equipped to answer those questions, and so they try to just give a very flippant answer, hoping that the one asking the question will be satisfied. Well, we're paying the price for that. So that conversation was Saturday. Then on Sunday, we hosted a missionary to Latvia that our fellowship has supported for the last 7 to 8 years. And he shared with us how rapidly the U.S. has changed. Now, he's from Indiana originally, but again, he's lived in Latvia full-time for the last almost 8 years. And for your listeners' information, Doug and Joe, Latvia borders Russia. The eastern border of Latvia is next to Russia. Estonia is north of Latvia. Lithuania and Belarus are to the south. And then the Baltic Sea is the west coast of Latvia, so that geographic region. And his comments Sunday morning really confirmed for me, and I told him after the service, I said, you don't know what you just spoke, but that was God-inspired, because I've been teaching through Psalm 74 the last 2 weeks and said exactly the same thing to folks. And this is what the missionary said. He said that the massive deception that Americans are under is breathtaking. He said that the media won't report anything truthfully over here. And, you know, I've said that 100 times. I've heard you guys say it 100 times. So that's not news to us. But the news is that so many people are deceived and they don't even realize it. And he made the point that in Latvia, of all places, the former Soviet occupied territory, that the news is much more unfiltered and they hear exactly what's going on in the world stage. His biggest surprise, though, was in how subservient the church in America has become, or how callous the church in America has become to depravity. And he chalked that up to pastors and Christians quite simply being afraid to offend people. And I got to tell you something, that hit the spot. And we know that that's true. The new number one inalienable right among a large number of Americans today is the right not to be offended. How often do you hear that? We have a right not to be offended. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole triggering and the safe spaces and all of that nonsense. We really do live in some very strange times, brothers.
You know, Dr. Spaulding, I just want to reintroduce you to those joining us a little bit later. Our guest is Dr. Michael Spaulding, Dr. Mike Spaulding. His website for his blog now is Dr. Dr. That's Dr. Mike, M-I-K-E, Spaulding, S-P-A-U-L-D-I-N-G. From there, that's drmikespaulding.com. From there, you can get to, eagleradio.com, thetransformingword.com. But Dr. Spaulding, here's what I believe. I believe, too, just to insert and kind of to add the exclamation point to what you're saying, if we, that's Doug and Joe Hagman, the Hagman Report, if we don't offend people, by our statements, we're not doing our job. If we, and we don't set out to offend anyone, but the truth, Coach Dave Dobmeier likes to say, the truth becomes hate speech to those who hate the truth, and that's what it is. I mean, right here and right now. And if we don't stand for what is right, what is proper, what is moral, what is biblical, then we're not doing our job. And unfortunately, we have so many people out there not doing their jobs. And Americans, in my view anyway, have become crybabies, wimps, whiners. It's just an incredible situation that we're facing. And I'll just close it by saying this. I don't believe America has got a problem with intolerance. We have a problem with tolerance, and that's tolerating what is unbiblical, immoral, and ungodly. So go ahead, Dr. Spaulding.
Well, to segue right into that, tolerance has been redefined today. Of course, it doesn't mean the same thing it did when we were kids. When we were young kids, tolerance was the right to say whatever you wanted to say without fear of being reprimanded. Today, tolerance means the right to say only those things that are culturally acceptable. And what's happened is that Christianity is rapidly becoming culturally unacceptable. Political correctness, you mentioned that earlier, Doug. Another word for that is cultural Marxism, and it's really become a muzzle. Freedom of speech, in my opinion, is on life support today in America. And by and large, that is the case in the church, of all places, in the church. And here's what I see. The church in America is behaving pretty much like the church in Nazi Germany by refusing to stand up, stand out, and say, you know what, enough's enough. We're not going to tolerate this anymore. But I'll tell you why so many churches won't do that. They won't speak out against the evil that has overtaken America. And this may come off as a bit harsh to some listeners, but again, I'm sharing my perspective based on my research and reading, and it's this. The reason why so many pastors won't speak out is because they don't want to risk their empires. They don't want to risk their fancy church campuses, their comfortable lifestyles. They're focused on building a kingdom. But I can tell you something, Doug and Joe, it's not God's kingdom. And this reveals, to me, it reveals a lack of faith and trust in God, and really a denial of His word.
Dr. Michael Spaulding, hold that thought. We're going to hit on this right on the other side of the break. We're coming up against the break right now, which is 3 minutes long. We'll be right back. Folks, you're listening to Dr. Michael Spaulding on this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're talking with Dr. Mike Spaulding. He's a pastor, radio show host, and author. We're going to get back to him in just a second. Two quick announcements. We want to give our condolences and our prayers out to contributing author to the Hagman Report, Catherine Craybill, who lost her father last night. And we ask that people continue to keep her in their prayers and her family in their prayers. And secondly, we want to thank John Robertson for getting Mr. Spaulding to come on our show. And he has not only done this, but he has set up a few other guests to come on the show this week and in through next week. So, John, thank you so much for...
It's amazing what $50 will do, right?
Thank you so much for putting the work in and getting these guests on. Right before the break, Dr. Spaulding, you were talking about one of the main issues of why so many pastors in today's day and age are afraid of being controversial, and you were alluding to the fact that they want to keep their earthly kingdoms intact. You want to pick up right where you left off?
Absolutely. And again, I don't try to intentionally offend, but Doug, to your earlier point, truth does offend. There's a reason why pastors who have multi-million dollar campuses and loans and large staffs and all of these things, there's a reason why they're not going to stand up and speak the truth. And that's because if they do, people are going to leave. And what happens when people leave the church? Well, they also take their checkbook, right? And you can't pay the bills if there aren't people in the pews. Now, I think that's an upside-down perspective on kingdom work. And that's why I believe that's all going to crumple eventually. We're going to see that happen. Now, the point that I'm trying to drive towards, Doug and Joe, is this. It's important for Christians to view all of life through the Scriptures. The Bible, we shouldn't just give it lip service and say, well, it's the manual for living. Well, it's not the manual for living if you're not consulting it on a daily basis. It's not the manual for living, Pastor, that you proclaim it is. If you're not teaching your people how to understand it, how to interpret it, and then how to live by it, it's not the manual for living if we disregard it in times of prosperity or trouble. Now, I think we're at a place in our nation's history where it's pretty clear to everybody, whether they're a believer or a non-believer, that things are pretty bad. But here's one of the things that I want to encourage your listeners, and I hope that I can do this before we wrap up our time together, Doug and Joe, is to give them some things that will encourage them and help them to stay the course. And I'm going to cover a couple of scriptures also to encourage them to do that. But we need to see things through the lens of Scripture. I can't emphasize that enough. We're in difficult straits today, in my view, simply because we have not honored the Scripture. We have not elevated the Scripture. We have not encouraged people to live by what the Bible has to say. The church has contracted a good many viruses, if we could call them that, that teach people all kinds of unbiblical things. The health and wealth, prosperity gospel, I'm going to put that square in my sights tonight and name that as probably right in the top two or three culprits. The health, wealth, prosperity gospel, and I'll get some emails about this, but that wouldn't be the first time, is unbiblical heresy. It is absolutely unbiblical heresy. And I'll tell you something else. The world is correcting the church. I just saw this week an article that came out from a secular news source, and here's the name of the article. The article was entitled, "The Five Most Dangerous Wolves Preying on Christians." It was posted on September 29th, 2016. Those five, and I would encourage your listeners to go out and find this article. The five most dangerous wolves preying on Christians. This is from a secular source. So even they see that there's an issue. The people in the church just bury their heads and act like it's not going on. So we're living in very dangerous times. It requires us to really dig deep into the Scriptures. I like to tell people, Doug and Joe, that we're living in prophetic times. We're seeing many of the Bible's prophecies come to pass. It's certainly exciting times. Now, is it bad? Are the times bad? Yes, they are. Should we be panicking? Absolutely not. Here's the dilemma. Evil has become so arrogant that it doesn't care if you see what it's doing or not. And that has an immediate application even to today, with Hillary Clinton. By any reasonable estimation, she is I hesitate for a moment, but I'm just going to say it, Doug and Joe. I believe that she is demonically inspired. That there is something horribly wrong with Hillary Clinton, and yet we see Christians supporting this woman. Now, that just defies explanation, in my opinion. But the reason that that's going on today is that our pastors will not stand in the pulpit and tell the truth. They won't stand in the pulpit and talk about prophecy for sure. And there's several passages of Scripture that, again, I hope to share before our time's up. But they won't talk about prophecy at all. In fact, there are a lot of prominent pastors out there, some even in my particular denomination, although Calvary Chapel says they're not. They pretty much act like they are, so call it what it is. But there are pastors out there, prominent pastors, that says we should not be studying prophecy. Now, here's my question for all those pastors that that say we shouldn't be studying prophecy, forget that and worry about, and really what it amounts to, let's throw the scriptures out and just worry about social gospel. That's what's going on. But my question to those pastors that denigrate prophecy is primarily this: how do you explain world events without the Bible? How do you look at what's going on without the filter of the scriptures?
Erroneously.
How do you explain? Yeah, that's right. Erroneously. That's exactly right. You offer solutions that are no solutions at all. How do you explain the Christian martyrs in the Middle East if not through the lens of scripture? How do you explain the rise of the evil that is Islam if you don't use the scriptures? How do you explain the rising anti-Semitism globally if you don't use the scriptures? And we could talk about the global financial crises. How do you explain the U.S. government pushing sodomy and gun control at the same time, sexual deviancy and taking away our freedoms at the same time? And so I ask pastors, what do you tell your sheep, those people that God has entrusted to your care, when they seek godly counsel on what to make of the present evil that's engulfed America? I mean, what exactly are pastors and ministry leaders doing today? Because I'll tell you, Doug and Joe, we have, at this time in our nation, perhaps the most ill-informed population that we've ever seen in America. Their Christians are basically ignorant about history, about economics, about politics. I mean, how else do you explain two terms of Obama if they're not ignorant about politics, geopolitics? They're ignorant about spiritual warfare that we're in today. They're ignorant about the Bible. But they can tell you all about the most popular contemporary Christian music and artists. They can tell you about their favorite TV shows, their favorite sports teams. They can tell you about their favorite restaurants. That breaks my heart. Here's what's happened to a large percentage of the church. It's become a captured operation, and that's been very intentional. The Bible warns Christians about wolves and false prophets in numerous places, but there's a category of people that many churches overlook to their own destruction, and I'd like to share a passage of Scripture, if I can, guys, from the book of Acts, chapter 20. Would that be all right?
Absolutely.
Acts chapter 20, starting at about verse 7. And this, of course, is Paul's third missionary journey. He's traveling through Asia Minor, and he's working his way to Ephesus. And so starting at verse 7, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day. And he prolonged his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered together, and there was a young man named Eutychus sitting. By the way, that's very humorous to me, not that he fell out of the window, but Luke names him Eutychus, which means fortunate. The name Eutychus means fortunate. So we see that he is fortunate. He was sitting on a windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep, and as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him." When he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long while until daybreak and then left. They took away the boy alive and were greatly comforted. But we, going ahead to the ship, set sail for Assos, intending from there to take Paul on board, for so he had arranged it, intending himself to go by land. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Miletus. Sailing from there, we arrived the following day opposite Chios, and the next day we crossed over to Samos, and the day following we came to Miletus. And here's the point. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Now, that's an important turning point. Paul is saying, I'm not coming back this way, and I'm likely going to lose my life when I arrive. So what he has to say from this point forward is very important. Therefore, verse 26, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I do not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. Now, here's my point. I read all of that for a reason. Paul says in verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. What does that mean exactly? Why is he saying he's innocent of the blood of all men? Well, because he preached to them the full counsel of God. That's verse 27. I didn't shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. And notice in verse 28, being a shepherd, Doug and Joe, is a calling. It's not a career. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. There are too many pastors in too many pulpits that have made a career choice, and it's damaging to the sheep. Notice verse 29. He's talking here about God haters. God haters are going to infiltrate the church, and he says that they come from the outside. Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, I call them God haters. Most people would call them false prophets, but I call them God haters for this reason. Because if they claim to represent God, but are really representing Lucifer, and they don't know the difference, then the Holy Spirit's not in them. And they're God haters, not false prophets. Now, in verse 30, we're introduced to the false prophets. And from among your own, so from within the body, among your own, men will arise speaking perverse things. And notice why they do that. They speak perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. We've got a great number of pastors and church leaders that they're all about making disciples, but it isn't disciples unto the Lord Jesus. It's disciples unto themselves. Now, the net effect of all of this, Doug and Joe, the wolves from without and the false prophets from within, is that a significant number of Christians have been reprogrammed to behave as consumers and as social do-gooders, if you will. They've been programmed to look at the church and see what can it give to them instead of what can I do in the kingdom among this body. And I see that stuff all the time. Visitors come with a what's in it for me kind of attitude. They're grading your sermon, they're grading your worship style, how many and what kind of programs you offer for their children and for their teenagers. And if you grade high enough on their scorecard, then maybe they'll hang around. But I have to tell you, that smacks of the fleshly and carnal attitude of mankind. It stinks and it's rotten. Some Christians treat
I mean, doesn't this appeal to, or isn't this the mechanism by which the elect will be deceived, and this is the basis for the clergy response team? I don't want to get too far out of, you know, off the beaten path here, but when we look the bigger picture here is the criminalization of Jesus Christ in the Christian religion, as odd as that sounds, but the push toward this one world religion via the clergy response teams who have hijacked Christianity, hijacked the Bible, and molded it into something that's not. I just thinking out loud here.
Nope, that's exactly the point, Doug, and that we're running out of time for this episode, so there's a lot more that we can cover, but that's exactly the direction that I'm going with this, is that the church has been a captured operation. This is how, you know, the Bible talks about apostasy, and it talks about the remnant church. We look out in the world today, and there's a huge organizational structure called the church, but most of it is an apostasy. There is a remnant that the Lord is encouraging and equipping and providing for to persevere through these times. Now, how do we know the difference between the two? Let me just cut to the quick. How can we tell the difference between the two? Well, in the apostate organization that still calls itself the church, the Holy Spirit has left. The Holy Spirit is not there. Now, I'll give your listeners some passages of Scripture, and they can look these up on their own. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, for example, Paul is talking about the end times church. So they can look that up. But we see it daily in the newspapers. And really, it's almost hard to be shocked anymore. But we see new revelations of pastors or denominations that come out in favor of abortion, that come out in favor of sodomite unions. I refuse to call those marriages because they are not. God describes, defines, instituted marriage, and it is not between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. They come out against or in favor of transgenderism. They support the ordination of men and women who are living homosexual lifestyles. They come out in favor of social justice. It breaks my heart to see the number of pastors in churches that are supporting Black Lives Matter. Doug, Joe, they cannot possibly know the background and what Black Lives Matter and any other social justice group like that is all about. The plain truth is that Black Lives Matter was founded by three Marxist lesbians as a way to attack white privilege. That's exactly what Black Lives Matter is, and we've got a president sitting in the White House that is aiding and abetting this kind of behavior. And really, it's deceiving not just the black population, but it's pulling in churches by the dozen, and it just breaks my heart. We shouldn't be shocked by this, but it is disheartening sometimes to see this. But we're told about this in the Scriptures, and passages of Scripture I can direct your listeners to. Matthew chapter 13. Verses 24 through 30 talks about the tares, and by
terrible
the way, when
the
scriptures,
the tares.
Yes, that's right. And when it talks about the tares in the scriptures, those are false converts. Those are false converts sitting in our churches. If you can imagine that, we have Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus says that the false converts look a lot like sheep, but they're not. And that's the passage that talks about on the day of judgment, they'll come to him and say, "But Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name?" And he'll say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." So there's all kinds of prophecies about what the church is going to look like in the last days. Now, the point that I'm making, I'm trying to drive at, and again, I'm not going to get there tonight. And by the way, that's not uncommon. My teaching style is expository, And if you ever talk to anybody from our fellowship, they'll tell you it's a good Sunday if I can get through three verses in a chapter, because there's so much there. But let me give you some things that we need to do as a body of believers in these last days, because I don't want to run out of time doing this. One of the things that we need to do as believers is that we have to recapture our culture from the demonic, and that includes especially our children. Have you noticed the rise in occultism coming out of Hollywood, coming through books, coming through pagan religions these days? Have you noticed that?
Especially Hollywood, yes, and the Wiccan religion is one of the fastest growing religions in the country. We see the rise of Satanism and the overall occult symbolism, and you know, the Illuminati symbolism from the halftime events, the Super Bowls and yes, Olympics and whatnot. Those are more prevalent today than they've ever been.
When was the last time that you heard a pastor preaching a sermon about all this demonic, occultic activity and pointing these things out? The reason why pastors should teach about that, by the way, is so that their congregants, the sheep that they've been placed in charge of shepherding, will be able to speak that to their neighbors and to their friends and to their family and to their coworkers. That's the reason why pastors should start talking about these things. We have to continue to speak the truth to evil. The lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer issues, politics, identity, all of these things are pressing in hard against the church, and they're not going to go away, guys. The game plan is to completely handcuff and silence the church, and a good many Christians are going along with this. And it doesn't help, of course, that we've got a renegade Supreme Court that really has become nothing more than the social engineering tool of the elite, in my opinion. I think we need to alert and educate Americans about this widespread deception. We know that the scripture says that in the end days there's going to be a massive deception, so massive and convincing, in fact, that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Now, we know it isn't, but that is a descriptor of just how bad it's going to be, and I think we're there. I think the deception is so widespread and so deep that it's pulling the pastors that should know better right into its wing. Christian ideology, leftist Christian ideology. I don't know if you're familiar with Jim Wallis and Sojourners and some of these so-called ministry leaders, but they're leading people away from the Bible and from the scriptures, and they're leading them into a social gospel, a sort of a feel-good gospel. If you just do stuff to make you feel good, then you're okay. I got to tell you, that does
Dr.
not.
Dr. Spaulding, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're going to have you come back on another show, because we have ran out of time already, and I know you're just really getting started into the meat of your message.
Yes. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Well, thank you, sir, and God bless you. Thank you for your time. Again, folks, this is Dr. Mike Spaulding. His website, you can go to drmikespaulding.com. His thetransformingword.com and soaringeagleradio.com are all his websites. Thank you so much, Mr. Spaulding. We'll talk with you and have you back on sooner than later.
Thank you very much, Doug and Joe. Appreciate it.
Have a great night. Folks, we'll be right back with Stan Deo right after this.